Pension Commission will come to order. Thank you very much, everyone, for this early morning start. We are having a Pension Commission because we have two issues in front of us today that need to be resolved so we can move forward. And we will be resolving these today so we can be moving forward. And that is the goal, to have this done by 9:30. And first up on the agenda is the amendment S2620-10A, the Maplewood Firefighters Relief Association. Senator Wieger, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commission members. The amendment presented by the Maplewood Volunteer Firefighters and the City of Maplewood reflects a compromise that resulted after the city decided to go to a full-time force. And this was several weeks ago. There was a great deal of controversy initially, as you can expect when you go through this type of transition. But the bottom line, this reflects peace in the valley. The amendment that you have, which also was introduced in the Senate and the House, will have a final number soon, and the amendment is very closely aligned, though not exactly, calls for the distribution of assets, and that's the thrust of the bill. How do we dispose of the assets that are in that pension fund for the volunteer firefighters? And it's half and half. Half to the city, which has contributed, half to the volunteer firefighters. And for the volunteer firefighters, there were 19 of them. Three of them have accepted full-time positions. The severance will call for $11,000 per year of service, and that is reflected in the legislation. There's also, I believe, an understanding of $250 for the departing firefighters as severance per year of service as well. It's my understanding. And once this is approved by the legislature, the parties, as noted in the amendment, would have 45 days to approve or ratify that agreement. Representative Fisher, the House author of the bill, is here. It does have the support of Maplewood legislators. There are five. I appreciate that your leadership, everyone, for taking this bill at such a late time, but it's very important in our community, as it would be in any of our communities if you had a burning issue like this. So I'm very appreciative that this has been resolved, and members of the negotiating parties are here, Brian Rice, Reed LeBeau, the city manager, and others, if you'd like to get further amplification on the details of the agreement.
Thank you, Senator Wieger. And Representative Fisher, would you like to please come up and say a few things? I don't think, unless there's questions from the commission, that we need to have other parties come up. But if there are questions, then certainly I'll have them come up. Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Rosen. I don't have a whole lot to add, but appreciate the opportunity at this late in session to be able to have this heard and forwarded.
Thank you. And before we go with questions, welcome, Representative Nelson. Passed you by because I had like a technical issue over there, but welcome to the Pension Commission. It's very good to see you again. We've worked together for many years. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a couple of questions. I think the Senator Wieger could probably answer some of them, but I would like Mr. Rice to come to the table as well. Right. Overall, Senator Wieger, you talked about the disposal of the funds. What was the amount of the funds that was left at the time that this all started taking place?
Senator Wieger.
Madam Chair, I'll yield to expert witnesses on that, and the city, and as well as Brian Rice, could probably stipulate a number.
Sure. Mr. Rice, welcome.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, the liabilities for the fund as of December 31, 2017, to the members was about $3.3 million, and the assets were approximately $5 million.
So,
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Rice, so we're talking about a little over $2 million that was excess funds then. Is that correct,
Mr. Rice?
Madam Chair, I'd say it was about $1.7 million.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
And then, Mr. Rice, when you say the other question that I have for you, so it's $11,000 that you're paying as a lump sum to the firefighters, and there's 19 of them. So how much would that equate for each of the firefighters, Mr. Rice?
Madam Chair, there's about 300 years of service from the 19 members. So the lump sum amount was and is under law right now $10,000. So rate going from $10,000 per year of service to $11,000 would be approximately $300,000. The one additional part is since the members were terminated and we're moving forward with the termination of the plan, there was a vesting schedule in place. And members were vested in this plan after 5 years of service. A volunteer receives 40% of the full $10,000 amount. So after 5 years, the service it would rest would be $4,000 per year of service. And then as you go to 20 years, you become 100%. The members in this plan, there were many that had less than 20 years. And what the bill calls for is full vesting for each year of service at $10,000. And that amount would be approximately $590,000 thereabouts. Approximately. So there's two components to the bill. One is to move the lump sum up from $10,000 to $11,000. As I said, that's about $300,000. And then full vesting for each year of service to, in other words, and that under pre-ERISA law would be standard in a termination of a plan. That's the additional amount.
And Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair and Mr. Rice, so for those amounts, just for the commission, just to remind us again, the cap right now is currently $10,000, right? So this would give the city of Maplewood the ability to go above the cap, going to $11,000. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, you are correct.
Okay. And Madam Chair, Mr. Rice, how much did the city contribute into the fund of the however, $5 million that had assets, $3.3 million in liabilities? How much did the city contribute?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, I'm not exactly sure on that number. I believe it's approximately $1 million, but that would go back some period in time. I don't believe the city's contributed to the fund in at least 6 years.
Okay, and it's $2 million is what the city is signaling, so $2 million total.
Anderson.
If the Mr. LeBeau can come to the table, I'd like to ask a few questions of him as well.
Welcome, Mr. LeBeau. How are you?
Good.
Thank you to both of you for your work on this. Mr. LeBeau and Mr. Rice, appreciate it.
Madam Chair?
Representative Anderson.
And Mr. LeBeau, so the city put in $2 million. How many years was that over? So are we talking 10 years, 20 years? How much?
Mr. LeBeau.
Madam Chair, I'm going to phone a friend on these technical aspects of how much money came into the fund.
Since
1999. Since 1999,
Madam Chair. Representative Anderson.
Okay, so $2 million since 1999. Okay. And at the time of 1999, how many firefighters did they have on staff at that point? Volunteer.
Madam Chair.
Mr. LeBeau.
If Representative Anderson's okay with it, it might be more efficient if we called up somebody from the city to answer this question.
Representative Anderson, is there some direction you want on this? There is an agreement?
I'm just curious. I want to kind of know the background.
We do have to get to the Plymouth issue, and we do have a deadline of 9:30 today.
Maybe I'll cut to the chase, too.
Thank you.
Mr. Rice, can you talk to me how it works for the dissolution? So any firefighter association, because this goes to the broader issue that we're talking about here today on the volunteer firefighters. So can you talk to me a little bit about how dissolution of a volunteer firefighter association works, how long it takes, what's involved in that process? Can you talk to me about that, please?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, yes, there's a specific statute, 424B, that sets forth the manner of dissolution of volunteer relief associations. in the first instance, if a city were to eliminate its fire department, it's required that the Relief Association, which is affiliated to the department, dissolve. Like a dissolution of, and these are nonprofit corporations under Minnesota law 317A. Under that statute, the Relief Association would have to enter a dissolution process, which exists in the nonprofit law, and there's specific provisions for 420B. Basically, what they would do is they would pay off their obligations, their pension obligations, pay off any other legal obligations. They would basically file notice with the Secretary of State and publish notice that they're going to dissolve, publish that as record, and then see if there's any other claims and dissolve. The process, I've done two of these in my 36 years of practice, and normally a dissolution process takes about 30 to 60 days.
Okay, total from the amount that they make the decision to the time that it's actually dissolved? Because I've heard conflicting reports on that. Can you, so in your experience, you say that it's taken 30 to 60? Is it?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, that's my recollection as I sit here now.
And
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair and Mr. Rice, well, I'll save it for the next section that we've got on this. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Rice or Senator Wieger, I note on the bottom of page 1 on line 1.25 and then continuing on the top of page 2 that there is provision made for an election of a direct rollover. My presumption of that is to an individual retirement account, but I'm also wondering if that would extend itself to after the establishment of a new retirement account. Presumably these firefighters would be available to para. Would they be able to roll over that benefit if they didn't want to take it in cash? Would they be able to roll it over to para as a retirement account?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, this group of volunteers, PERA is available. They have an investment mechanism which funds could enter into with PERA, and PERA administers a statewide volunteer plan. This group is not part of that plan. We anticipate that these members would receive their pension benefit and they would roll it over into an individual IRA account. And I don't believe they're eligible to go into PERA's statewide plan.
Representative Albright, good.
Thank you.
All right, good. Further questions? Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, I don't understand the urgency. I don't understand why this is before us to put into the omnibus bill that was completed 6 weeks ago.
Well, thank you, Representative Murphy. This is something that I feel was agreed upon. There was a lot of work that was done to get to this point. There are some other outstanding issues with Plymouth. We do have Eden Prairie in the omnibus bill that was agreed upon. And now Maplewood is a compromise to get things going. There's still some work that needs to be done on Plymouth, and I'm hoping that we can come to some resolution today. So basically, for me, it was a compromise. Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, I believe the reason this is here is currently the City of Maplewood and the Maplewood Volunteer Relief Association are involved in litigation.
Oh, that's right.
Over the fund, and quite frankly, this legislation is a means to resolve that litigation and save significant legal fees on both sides, on the part of the city and the Relief Association, so that the assets, instead of being expended on litigation, both public funds by the city and pension assets by the member can resolve this. Absent this legislation, we are currently have the litigation on hold. If we can't get this resolved, we'll spend the next year and a half litigating these issues with an uncertain outcome for both parties. So in a manner, I think what we're presenting to the legislature is a way to solve a lawsuit today, and that's the urgency.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Then I received a communication from firefighter Woodbury, and apparently they're next. So does this this decision for Maplewood, does this create the precedent for all remaining firefighting groups that are going to be asking for similar changeovers in the future?
Mm-hmm. Representative Murphy, that's a good question. We do have one already in the bill, and that is Eden Prairie. Yeah. And I think we are looking at perhaps a Relief Association work group to study it further, but Mr. LeBeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Murphy, you may recall earlier in session we introduced a bill to this issue. What you have before you today is the compromise that's been worked out between the parties. I agree with Mr. Rice with regard to the urgency being that we're currently in litigation, and this is the best way to make sure that the firefighters and the city have their settlement done and not that just the lawyers get paid. As far as precedent setting, the only precedent that's being set is that we, like Eden Prairie, have come forward with the bill. We've had the conversation throughout the legislative process, and what you have before you today is a compromise that, just as in the Eden Prairie case, the parties have come to. I wouldn't say that there's anything more precedential than just that, that you have an agreement between the parties before you.
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, to that I would add that I think the facts in Maplewood are rather unique. Maplewood has not hired a new volunteer firefighter in over 8 years. I think there's some unique things about the city of Maplewood in terms of the fire aid. It has a very significant employer in the city, a company called 3M, that when you use the formulas for fire state aid, it's a combination of 50% population, 50% valuation, and the property that 3M has in the city is rather significant. So that generates a significant amount of fire state aid. And I think the circumstances in Maplewood are quite unique. The city has basically been transitioning to some form of a full-time fire department for about 8 years. And I think in that hasn't been the experience that I've seen in other cities. So I would really see this as legislation as not being precedential on some of the other issues the Pension Commission faces. I think it's very unique to Maplewood, and in fact, we have a lawsuit that we're trying to settle.
And
Representative Murphy.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Rice, then, the lawsuit that you're trying to settle, that this legislation and are including this in the pension bill, would settle it?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, it would. The city has also agreed to provide a severance amount to the 16 firefighters that lost their jobs that didn't receive full-time employment. That settlement is, that amount is, it's not insignificant, it's not major, it's $250 per member, about $70,000 or so, and we obviously would agree to some other things as settling, having the city inspect the books and records, that each side will approve things, each side will take other actions that really wouldn't be, you know, appropriate for legislation. But what we anticipate, if this is passed, the city and the Relief Association will enter into a formal written settlement agreement. Both parties have made claims in the lawsuit, and we would each dismiss the claims, proceed with the dissolution, and distribute the assets basically according to the bill and the settlement agreement.
And Madam Chair, just one more. Who initiated the litigation?
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chairman, Madam Chair, the city.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is probably a technical question, so Mr. Rice or Mr. LeBeau. On page 2, lines 2.17 through 2.21, file for and receive reimbursement pursuant to Minnesota statutes and then supplemental benefits paid. Could you explain for the benefit of the commission what that paragraph means.
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, yes. This goes back to a law passed in the early 90s by our then Representative Vanosik. And in every case when a volunteer firefighter retires or receives a pension payout, which under law it's, you have to be at least age 50, the funds are required to pay a $1,000 supplemental benefit under 424A10. And then the Department of Revenue reimburses the Relief Association for that payment. Representative Vanosik put this in law, in essence, as a way to help the volunteers pay their state tax share of whatever payment they'd have to pay for their tax. It's a long, ongoing program. The Department of Revenue administers it, and what happens essentially is that relief associations, if they remain active, will pay the amount. They then submit a form both to the Office of the State Auditor and the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Revenue then some point later reimburses that supplemental payment. In this case, because the Maplewood Volunteer Relief Association will be dissolved sometime this year, I believe, there won't be a relief association there to receive the payments because the legal entity will be gone. And this payment, initially we hoped that the payment would go to all members, but Ms. Lincheski and staff talked to the Department of Revenue, and this would apply only to those who are currently over 50. I think there's going to be 19 members who would receive benefits under this bill, but I think only, and the deferred members could also, but there's only about six of the 38. There's 19 members who are terminated. There's another 19 deferred. Only about six to eight who are over 50 could actually be eligible to receive this payment.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further questions, and then we're going to take a vote here. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for being late. Is it Mr. LeBeau? Are you representing the city of Maplewood?
Mr. LeBeau.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, yes, I am.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we had someone from the city here. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I don't know who can answer this question, but what can the city use the funds for? So once they get the funds, that's the state aid that was paid in for the purpose of the volunteer firefighters. What can they use? Not just what they plan to use it for, but what are all of their options and how they can use the funds?
Anything, right?
Okay. That were intended for the volunteer firefighters.
Good morning. Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, I'm Melinda Coleman. I'm the city manager for the city of Maplewood. Representative Anderson, those funds can be used to reimburse for para expenses for our new employees and any public safety purposes, but our plan is to use it for para payments.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, on the public safety side of things, so they could also use it to buy equipment and things of that nature, anything down to office supplies and so forth. Is that correct?
That is correct. We would tend to use them for para purposes first, and then capital equipment, fire trucks, equipment for the firefighter EMS staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Again, thank you, Mr. Rice. Thank you, Mr. LeBeau, for your work, and Ms. Coleman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Weaker and Representative Fisher. It's back there still. I know this was very tenuous and a tough to figure this out, and we hope to ongoing look at this as a whole and not piecemealed as this. But we, right, Mr. Rice, you're spot on. We need to mitigate these litigation fees ongoing. So with that, Representative Driscoll moves that amendment S2620-10A be recommended for adoption in the Omnibus Pension Bill and the House Committee process. All those in favor say, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a quick question. Maybe Senate Counsel can help. With respect to where we are and what we've heard, we have state law which governs all this, and we're here today because I assume we're moving outside of state law for a couple of elements. One which I think is going from 10,000 to 11, is that correct? Is there another item that, or is that the item that we're
Ms.
really
Lincheski.
Here to vote for today?
Yes, Senator Senjum, it is true that the $10,000 to $11,000 lump sum is a change in what the law would currently provide. The other item is the full vesting of all of the firefighters. So right now, under current law, there isn't any provision that would allow for that. I believe that is everything. There is a part of this that isn't governed by state law, and so we're trying to take that into account, which is the conversion of this defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan and now going back to a defined benefit plan. So that's a little bit out of the bounds of what the law would provide, so we're kind of making sure that that can occur consistent with, again, Minnesota law.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Madam Chair. I wanted to understand that a little bit better.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. With that, Representative Driscoll renews his motion to move the amendment S2620-10A and be recommended for adoption in omnibus pension bill in the House committee process. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Members, we have the Plymouth issue in front of us. And Ms. Lencheski, would you like to go through what we have in front of us and the differences?
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator Rosen. I have a memo that explains the current state of the law and then what the amendment does. So the first part of the amendment, this is it's a session law, so this is the part on that starts on page 1 at line 1.4.
So listen, Ms. Lencheski, we're working off the S2620A1 amendment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you should have that, members, in front of you.
So the first part, which is an amendment of subdivision 4 of 424B.20, starts on line 1.4 and goes through line 3.7. That changes the law in that this deals with the dissolution of a relief association. Under law, when a relief association dissolves, after payment of all legal obligations, there's a benefit trust established, the affairs of the relief association are wound up, and then after all that happens, the surplus, this is the assets in excess of benefit liabilities, currently transferred to the municipality. So this changes that for a certain subset of relief associations. So on page 2 of my memo, it might be helpful to follow along because it gets a little bit technical. If the relief association has received a required contribution from the municipality during the preceding 10 years, the surplus is transferred to the municipality. So the law is unchanged on that point. I should also note that there are two types of contributions that can be made to a relief association. One is a required contribution. The other we'll refer to as a voluntary contribution. The required contribution is required when the relief association is not fully funded. So there's a shortfall between assets and liabilities. So in the first case where we have a required contribution in the preceding 10 years, the law is unchanged. For any other municipality and relief association wherein the municipality has made no contributions or has made only voluntary contributions or has made the required contribution greater than 10 years ago, the surplus is transferred to the state. So that is the change in the law, and it relates to those three categories of municipalities and relief associations. So the second part of the amendment relates to what we've seen before. This is
section
similar.
20. Section 20.
Yeah, I'm sorry, section 28. So this starts on line 3.8 and goes to the end. This is similar to what was done in the case of Eden Prairie. So this will apply to a group of firefighter relief associations that have a funding ratio of greater than 100% as of the most recent fiscal year end, and which provide a lump sum pension benefit based on a pension amount of $9,500 or more. Any relief association that satisfies those criteria will now be able to increase its lump sum amount to $12,500. We understand from talking with the state auditor that there are four of those. They are Eden Prairie, Maplewood, Plymouth, and Brainerd. Eden Prairie is already addressed in the bill. We've already addressed Maplewood. So Plymouth and Brainerd will be the two relief associations that will be able to take advantage of this change in the law. That is the description, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to take those.
Thank you, Ms. Lipchesky.
Madam Chair.
Yes, and Representative Anderson, before we get started, I just want to say something about what we're going to do today. And like I said, we have till 9:30 to get to some agreement on Plymouth, if it's going to be in the pension bill and moved in the House. This is where we do our work in the Pension Commission. And this, it should be agreed upon as we move forward, that whatever is put into the pension bill is agreed on by the Pension Commission. So I just want to state that very clearly, that we have some options in front of us. I think we can come to some kind of agreement. It may not be perfect, but we do have the option of a working group to move forward with all the other Woodbury's and whoever else is coming forward. But right now, before us, we have Plymouth. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just for the members that aren't familiar with this issue, I just wanted to take some time this morning to describe what is all involved in this. Currently, the city of Plymouth has refused to ratify the lump sum amount that the volunteer firefighters in Plymouth have requested of them. The last amount that was ratified for the Plymouth Volunteer Firefighter Association was $8,000. And the Firefighters Association has been trying to work with the city to get them to ratify or to a higher amount. And they've been doing that for years in trying to get them to ratify a higher amount. And that just hasn't happened. So there's kind of frustration on both parts of how this has transpired. And just so you know, as of 2016, at the $8,000 amount, fund was at 149% funded. Now, the volunteer firefighters with queasy stomachs decided to raise their amount to $9,500 here just recently, and they're still at 179% funded. So there's a huge surplus in their Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association fund. And just to put things in perspective, the city of Plymouth, unlike the city of Maplewood, has not contributed a single dime to that fund. So not a single dollar of city tax dollars has gone into this fund. And as back-of-the-napkin math shows, the fund right now currently has a surplus of around $4.5 million. The city of Plymouth tonight is going to be meeting to discuss three different options. From the indications on the paperwork on these options, they're looking to go to a full-time fire department. And if they would do that, they would then fire their volunteer firefighters, and they would be able to access the $4.5 million in surplus funds that the state has set aside for the specific purpose to help out those volunteer firefighters. That's the whole point of the state aid, was to make sure that we're providing a pension fund for these volunteer firefighters to take care of them in the volunteer work that they're doing. So just to review on the numbers, right now, City of Plymouth is 179% funded in their Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association fund. Huge surplus that they're sitting on. If the city then moves ahead like they are planning to do, they would be able to capture all of those funds, of which they did not contribute a single penny. Unlike Maplewood, Maplewood put in $2 million, Plymouth has put in zero, okay? Now, the Firefighters Relief Association has been contemplating going to a defined contribution plan. If they went to a defined contribution plan, their administrative costs would be extremely lower, and it also removes the risk from the city. The city would then be off the hook. They would not have to pay into the lump sum amount. The thing is with the alternative that you've got here, the A11 amendment, that would prohibit the volunteer firefighters from seeking the option of going to a defined contribution. So not only would they lose out on the opportunity to have a lower cost defined contribution plan, but then they would also lose out in the fact that then the city would be able to fire them. They would be forced to dissolve, and then the city would claim all of those funds that were intended for the volunteers themselves. So that's why I have the language that's part of the A1 amendment. And knowing that people don't want this to impact other cities, but also recognizing that the city has to ratify anything that is specific to them. That's the difference between Eden Prairie. Eden Prairie was willing to ratify the language. Maplewood is willing to ratify the language that we just heard here today. Plymouth will not be willing to ratify any language. So that's why the language is crafted to not just include Plymouth, but other entities as well. But I'm trying to limit it in scope as much as possible to make sure that we're recognizing that other communities don't want to be part of this. But what this does is it raises the cap from the $10,000, puts the cap at $12,500, because as you can see, they're at 179% funded. They are way over what their amount should be. It's a huge surplus that we're talking about. Still protecting the city from any liability for it, because they are only on the hook for the amount they ratify. So the city is only ratified at $8,000. They're only on the hook for that $8,000, and we still keep that in place. So that was the intent with the language that we have here today. The intent and the communication that I've had with the city of Plymouth is, I'm doing this. I want you to work this out. But until you work this out, here's what we're going to do and put in place. Given the fact that you have a $4.5 million surplus, you're way overfunded, and this recognizes the hard work of the volunteer firefighters. With that, Madam Chair, if anybody has questions, I'd be happy to help fill in the blanks as far as the City of Plymouth.
Questions to this Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess the question I have in my mind, and I was thinking about this since I saw this yesterday in government operations, is do all cities have firefighter relief associations? And the ones that, if there are some that don't, how do they handle this money that comes from the state to the, that's supposed to go to the firefighter relief associations?
Ms. Lincheski.
There are about 600, I believe, fire relief associations in the state. So that covers, almost all of them are associated with a municipality or with a joint powers group that would be comprised of municipalities. The remainder, I believe, have fire departments that have salaried firefighters, and they are all in the para police and fire plan.
Representative Nelson.
So, Madam Chair, so the money that would go to them from this fund, that then would go to them to pay for their fire service, either their equipment or pension amounts or salaries or whatever.
Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. That is correct, that the state aid would go for that purpose, but it also was able to then be used to contribute to the para police and fire with respect to the salaried people as well.
Representative Nelson. Good. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson was very articulate, but do we have anyone here from the City of Plymouth to, if they have their side of the story?
Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. Am I on?
Are you representing the city?
Yes. Good morning.
Could you please state your name for the record?
Yep. Madam Chairman and Committee, my name is Dave Drelin. I'm the Deputy Fire Chief with the City of Plymouth.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
First name's Dave, last name's Drelin, D-R-E-E-L-A-N.
Thank you.
I'm the Deputy Fire Chief with the City of Plymouth. As you may know, Chief Kappa has been attending these meetings with some regularity in the past. He was unable to be here today. So the city has asked me to come down and just read a brief statement. If you give me a second, I'll pull it up and I'll do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Dielum.
Madam Chairman, committee, on behalf of the City of Plymouth, we oppose SF 2620, Amendment A1. We believe this is a matter of local control in the statutory change regarding this distribution of funds or any increase to the city existing 10,000 cap ought to be deliberated between the city's Fire Relief Association and the City Council. The city would like to preserve the opportunity to engage in this dialogue with its relief association to define a prudent and agreed upon direction for the betterment of the community, and the proposed actions in this amendment deny us the prospect of doing so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dielum. Are there questions? Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, I've heard the concept of local control bantered about a lot over the last few years. I am a retired volunteer firefighter, and I realize that there's always the potential for conflicts between a volunteer firefighter relief association and the city. But looking at the state of the volunteer firefighting right now and knowing how hard it is to get volunteer firefighters, my feeling is that we have to be cognizant of those people that are volunteering, and when we do things that might disrupt that confidence, that the money that was paid in by that insurance tax, I believe it's 2%, into their retirement could go for other uses other than their benefit when they are the people that have full-time jobs and have to get up at 2 in the morning and go out and make calls. The excuse of just losing local control to me isn't superior enough to defeat all of the time and the effort and the risk that those volunteers are taking. So I'm wondering what else is there from the City of Plymouth's standpoint that makes logical sense that this should not be done?
Mr. Deal?
Madam Chairman and Council, let me first say that I've been in the fire service nearly 28 years. I'm the volunteer chief of the Mendota Heights Fire Department, and my career job is the deputy chief of Plymouth. And I completely understand what the issues are here in the sense of how the service is changing. The cities are gravitating because of need to more career-based staffing. The paid-on-call firefighters, which in some cases I am in that box, and I'm also a career firefighter, the paid-on-call firefighters are in essence getting nervous because of their traditions, their way of life, their service to the community is starting to erode, in which most of them would agree and is in some cases a necessity. And, you know, I've heard conversation about a committee started that's going to start to look at this issue because I think it's going to get worse. So, unfortunately, I don't have a solution, but I will tell you that this is something that I think you're going to continue to see, and it's going to need to be addressed. And I could put my Mendota Heights hat on, and if someone said that, you know, we were going to become a career firefighter and my 28 years of service and the money in that pension would all of a sudden be in jeopardy, I would be very nervous. But as a career chief, I also understand the ability to make sure that the city is protected to a level now that the community expects. So I wish I could have an answer for you. I'm sorry that I don't, but I think it's something that we're going to have to look further into.
Representative Holman.
Madam Chair, a follow-up. I'm not disputing the fact that there are going to be cities that are going to have to go to a paid fire department, but as a retired person, and I'm done now, I've already been retired from it, It's an idea of the confidence. This money was paid into that relief association from a premium tax that is meant to pay volunteer firefighters who have saved municipalities a lot of money. by doing these things where you would allow the city to grab some of that money that was paid into that fund for those people that were surrendering maybe sometimes their life, but certainly their time and their family time, to be volunteers and save the city money, to me, is corrupting that fund. And other than the idea of local control, I'm not sure what other rationale there is to take that money from volunteers and move it over to city funds. And I realize there's a pension obligation, but that goes with a paid fire department. So no more question, but just a comment, folks, that we have to respect these people that have been volunteering, because I've responded to a pager at 2 in the morning, and it's no fun. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Vogel, for your service, too, for doing that. And I think that's why we're trying to get this right, for sure. Representative Anderson, did you have something?
I'll wait.
Okay. And then Representative Nelson, and then Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess the question I have, according to the memo here, we've got that this would also affect or could also affect Brainerd. Is there anybody, have we heard of anybody from Brainerd? Is there anybody here from Brainerd that would, I mean, where do they fall on this? Because this isn't just affecting Plymouth. It could affect other cities, and we should
Absolutely.
Know how they're going to look at it.
I do think you're correct on that, Representative Nelson. I believe on page 2 through line 2.9 through 2.17, it does then include many municipalities. So we definitely want to make sure we get this right. Mr. Carlson, good morning.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. I'm not directly representing Brainerd, but when this amendment came up in the State Government Finance Division or the State Government Finance Committee in the House, I did contact the affected cities. Brainerd told me they had no specific legislative position on this issue. So I reiterated or I re-asked the question of them again yesterday, and I have not received a response again. But as of last week, they said they had no official position on the increase in the cap to $12,500 that would potentially affect them.
Okay, thank you. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess then have we heard from the firefighters in Brainerd and what their position on it? Because I think there might be two competing positions here, as we've seen in the Maplewood situation.
I don't believe we have heard from the firefighters, but Representative Anderson, do you have a comment on that?
Madam Chair, to that point, Representative Nelson, so for the Volunteer Firefighter Relief Associations, part of this language also includes increasing the cap of how much they can receive from $10,000 to $12,500. So it would give the Volunteer Firefighter Relief Associations more flexibility. If, and I know that you haven't served on this, but certainly you've served on GovOps, though, too. In the last two pension bills that this commission has passed, we've included language that would increase the cap to $15,000. So that was passed bipartisan of this commission in two different commission bills. Now, that wasn't part of this pension bill that we have this year. But this language for those that are impacted would have that cap listed to $12,500. It isn't the full $15,000 amount, trying to recognize, you know, concerns are out there. But it certainly is a little help for those volunteer relief associations.
Representative Nelson, there are two parts to this A1 amendment, too. So I'm going to have Ms. Lincheski clarify some of the facts and figures on this, too, please.
Madam Chair, Representative, so the second part is the one that relates to the increase in the lump sum to $12,500, Section 28. That impacts the four relief associations. So that includes Brainerd, Plymouth, and then the two others that are already being dealt with in other ways. The first part, however, I'll just note that we talked with the State Auditor's Office, and of those relief associations that are out there, 363 of them with surpluses received a municipal contribution during the 10-year period ending in 2016. 257 of those received a required contribution, while 106 of them received a voluntary contribution during the 10-year period. So I'm only noting here that there are, with regard to just the first part of the amendment, there are a number, you know, several hundred here that will be impacted by the change in the law.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson. Or Anderson.
We're all Scandinavian.
Actually, the data that we received from the state auditor is that it's 62, not the 106 that you cited. So.
Well, all right, Representative Nelson, do you have something that you wanted to say? You're looking at me.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess the reason I asked is because if this is being, if it's being sold as this is Plymouth, but they were saying it could be Plymouth and Brainerd, and now we're hearing it could affect a lot more. I don't know how, if we want to go ahead with this, unless we study it some more and get the information, because there's even some conflicting data here as how many it's going to affect, that we could be opening a big can of worms that I don't know if we want to go down that road.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doesn't the Auditor's Office have a working group that usually works on these issues and develops a consensus among the group and brings them forward to us so we don't have unintended consequences?
Ms. Lynches.
Senator Pappas, Madam Chair, the work group that the State Auditor convenes is very much according to what that group decides is an issue that they want to bring up and talk about. So we can't be for sure, we can't say with certainty that this will be an issue that will be addressed by that group. It is a good idea to have some sort of an interim work group on this, and there is it is addressed in the other amendment here, the moratorium. There is a work group being created to address this issue and the issue of what should happen with the surplus, and should relief associations be able to convert from a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan, and how that might be done, if that's something that the commission thinks should happen. So it is a needing study, and we could do it over the interim, either with the auditor if she's willing, or, you know, separately.
Senator Pappas.
Just to follow up, Madam Chair, I think that Representative Anderson brings up a really good point here about these various issues about raising the cap. We want to keep our volunteer firefighters, but as you mentioned, the circumstances are changing among a number of these communities, and we just need to have some kind of uniformity. So I think it would be a good idea to have a working group over the interim that can, you know, spend the time looking at all the different issues and bring forward recommendations for us.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Pappas, I would agree that we need to have a working group to discuss this issue for the future. The problem is, for the city of Plymouth, this is happening right now, and it's impacting the volunteer firefighters right now. So for us to delay this, this means that there's going to be a negative result for the volunteer firefighters in the city of Plymouth. My city is voting tonight on what plan that they're going to take place, that they're going to do. And as I've read through the documents, what they're going to do is they're going to get rid of their volunteer firefighters. When they do that, that forces the dissolution of the Volunteer Relief Association, and all those funds then go to the city rather than to the volunteer firefighters. And the problem that that I've seen, too, is the volunteer firefighters, unlike the city, they can't lobby. If they lobby, they're fired on the spot. So they can't be here today to say, here's our concerns, this is how much we're funded, we have this $4.5 million surplus, but the city can send somebody here to lobby on the city's behalf. On top of that, the state auditor's working group had a city employee of Plymouth serving on that. And that's part of the reason why I think that we probably don't have the language lifting the cap to 15,000 like we did in the two previous bills, because that task force said, yeah, we don't like this language. Well, I had a city of Plymouth employee that served on that task force. So you can kind of see kind of the problems with it. I think it's good we're having this conversation, but at the end of the day, the city of Plymouth has contributed $0 into these state funds. These are state dollars. This isn't LGA. This is the state dollars that we have set aside for the purpose, as Representative Vogel pointed out, to help out our volunteer firefighters. Not to help out to buy equipment or any of these other things, but for the sole purpose to take care of the folks that are getting up at 2 a.m. in the night to go and fight fires for their city.
So, Mr. Gillum.
Madam Chairman and committee, a point of correction there. The city of Plymouth currently has 6 career firefighters in the firefighting role and approximately 66 paid on-call firefighters or volunteer firefighters. The proposal that we'll be making to City Council tonight in a work group will be to hire 6 more career firefighters in 2019, another 3 in 2020, and another 3 the following year. During that time, the city will still rely heavily on paid on-call firefighters to work shifts right along with the career firefighters. It's possible that our ranks will diminish over time as we need to recruit less paid on-call firefighters because we have the predictability of the career staff, but right now there is no intention to begin to fire our paid on-call firefighters.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Carlson, Senator Pappas, do you have a comment on this too?
No, I'd like to speak generally on the A1 amendment at some point, but this point.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I just want to say something about the timing because, it's unclear what's happening tonight in Plymouth, but even if we were to pass this provision, it still has to be adopted into the Pension Commission, which is still moving through the House. It still has to be passed by both bodies. It would still have to be signed by the governor. I think the effective date is upon enactment. I don't know that there's anything we can do here today to stop what may be going on tonight at Plymouth City Hall. I think it's hard for us to feel like we're under the gun, that we have to move and act on something. I think we're used to being a little bit more methodical here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Senator Frantz.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to clarify. The City of Plymouth is or is not going to vote to disband their volunteer firefighting program tonight.
Mr. Drellum.
Madam Chairman and Committee, that is not happening tonight. We have a standard budgetary work session with City Council, and we're laying out options to provide a more predictable staffing level to the citizens of Plymouth over the next 2, 3, and 4 years. There is no conversation regarding voting or dismantling the paid on-call firefighter system in Plymouth.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm looking at the language, and Ms. Lencheski, if you could just help me with a couple of provisions. You mentioned in earlier comments four fire departments, Eden Prairie, Maplewood, Brainerd, and Plymouth. And could you just remind me what brings those four together and their uniqueness and why those comments were made?
Ms. Lencheski.
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative Albright, it's the conditions on being able to take advantage of the lump sum increase, which are set out in lines 3.10 through 3.16. And the conditions, I believe, are two. One is that the funding ratio must be greater than 100%, so they're overfunded. And the second is that the lump sum benefit amount that they've currently approved and are now paying out to their firefighters is at least $9,500. So when you take those two conditions and apply it to all the relief associations, there are 4 of them that fall out and satisfy that criteria.
So,
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we've, in a sense, already fulfilled or completed the task of bringing Eden Prairie and Maplewood through the process of availing them of other conditions, whether it be through termination, as Mr. Rice has stated with the Maplewood case. We've not heard from Brainerd. Eden Prairie is already in the pension bill. And so it seems like we're going to contemplate taking care of Plymouth in this one. So, Ms. Lencheski, the language that is starting on page line 3.17 and following through to the completion of the amendment itself, is it my read on it is that it is permissive language with a cap.
Ms.
Is that correct?
Yes, Representative Albright, Madam Chair, that is correct. So they are now permitted to go up to 12,500, but it does require that they satisfy the other conditions that generally apply, which is that they have to have a certain funding level. They are eligible if they their average amount of available financing per year per firefighter is adequate, and then they are able to increase to a higher amount.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to the extent that local control would be important and also being very respectful of the comments made by Representative Vogel, wouldn't it, in my read on this, make available, this amendment would make available to the City of Plymouth the availability to work it out amongst themselves pursuant to whatever decisions they might make tonight or in the future along the lines of this elevated cap? And I have a follow-up, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Albright. But I do still want to stress that whether this keeps working, if this to work it out and get to some agreement, which you can't move something like this without a complete agreement by the city and the Relief Association, and for it to be in the bill, it has to be approved by the Pension Commission. And that is, I think we can all agree to that around this table. I've heard several things that I think we can probably help resolve this issue going forward. Number one, that there is a great need for a working group to study this ongoing issue further. So we can address that with an amendment that's already been addressed or already been drafted. Also, I think the language in the A1 really is so broad that it pulls in many other relief associations and cities, and as I said, 2.9 through 2.17. Ms. Lincheski, can you just explain what that language does say there? Just to clarify, members, because this is very problematic, this first part of this A1 amendment.
Okay, going again just to the first part, Madam Chair. As I mentioned, if a relief association decides to dissolve, then it must satisfy its benefit obligations and other expenses. Then at that point, the surplus under current law is paid to the municipality. So the changes in the first part of the amendment, which start at 1.4, and really the important part is over on lines 2.6 through 2.14, that is where there are a number of municipalities and fire relief associations that will be subject to a change in the law. And as I mentioned earlier on the top of page 2 of my memo, the law is unchanged then as it relates to any municipality that made a required contribution during the preceding 10 years. In that case, this language will still require the surplus to go to the municipality. For any other municipality in these three categories, made no contribution at all to their relief association, or second group made only a voluntary contribution, their second group, and then the third group is it made a required contribution, but that contribution was more than 10 years ago. In that case, the law has changed under this language. The surplus will then be transferred to the state, not to the municipality.
Okay, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think we officially have an amendment in front of us. We're just discussing these. So the staff has actually drafted the 14A amendment, which is a narrower amendment that would just apply to Plymouth and might take care of Representative Anderson's concerns that they're moving too quickly before these things can be discussed, but not have as big an impact on other fire relief associations as the 20A1 would.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
To get at the concern that you have that this applies to too many other entities, and the reason why this was drafted this way, because it still, if we had it applied just to Plymouth, the city itself would have to ratify that. And because the city of Plymouth has been unwilling to ratify any increase in the lump sum, We anticipate that they're not going to be willing to ratify anything that we pass that is specific to them. And that's, and if let me finish if I can, that's why we've included these others. But to address that concern that you've had, what we can do on the language of 2.9 is modify the language, and I don't have official language, but I can get it to you after we spend some time on it, is modify the language so that it would only you would only get back, a city would only get back money that they have paid in. So for this situation in Plymouth, they have not paid in any money. So they would not get the funds back. And the reason why is we don't want to have an incentive that they get rid of all their volunteer firefighters that they have. The City of Plymouth tonight, as part of their proposals that are posted online, has a three-year phase-out of their Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association, that they're gone in a three-year phase-out. So that's part of one of the plans that they have posted on their website. So since they have not paid in funds to it, we can minimize the impact by saying this would only apply to communities, and if you haven't paid in funds, you don't get the funds back. So that way, any other community that has paid in funds, they would get their funds back. But for a community like Plymouth, and to narrow the scope, they would not get the funds that the state has dedicated toward the volunteer firefighters, which reflects what Representative Vogel pointed out, that the purpose of the state aid is for the volunteer firefighters.
Representative Anderson, I believe Mr. Lincheski has said this 14A amendment has been drafted to not have to have ratification. It's specifically for Plymouth. So this might address that issue.
Madam Chair.
And Ms. Lincheski first, please.
The 14A, thank you, Madam Chair. The 14A amendment is drafted very similarly to the second part of A1, which is to say it looks at volunteer firefighter relief associations that pay a lump sum equal to $9,500 as of the effective date of this section, and then will be dissolving at some point in the future, whenever that may happen. Upon satisfaction of these two criteria, then the two parts we just looked at will apply. So it'll make the change in law to any relief association that's received a required contribution. In that case, it will go to the state, to the municipality, but otherwise all funds will go to the state. So this is tailored in such a way that it will include Plymouth, but it may also include other relief associations that are paying at the $9,500 level should they dissolve. So it's drafted in such a way that it is not a special law, so would not require the agreement of the city.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask our nonpartisan research staff, who spent a lot of time talking or researching this, I'd like him to come to the testifier table so that we can talk about what this amendment. This is my first time seeing this amendment, obviously, so I have some questions for Mr. Gehring.
Representative Anderson, I don't think we've ever had that before. I'm sorry. This is
then I'll convey to you what was communicated to me. So this would not qualify because it is so narrowly specified. This would kick in ratification by the city. So this was part of the dilemma that we had in putting together the language, is you can't do it this way because then the city, from a constitutional perspective, would have to ratify this language. And that's why we didn't go this route.
Representative Anderson, that is not what we've heard from Ms. Lincheski, that it has to be ratified. So obviously this is not ready for prime time. We are trying to come to agreement. I believe the 14A amendment was crafted to help this situation out. But obviously, you have a goal of getting to something that has not been approved by both the city and the Relief Association, and it's problematic to put this into this very important pension bill.
And so, Madam Chair, I do appreciate the efforts of Ms. Lincheski on the 14A amendment. And I think that we can get to the concerns that you have. We just need a little bit more time. This is my first time seeing this amendment. If I had seen this prior to today's hearing, I could have communicated with Ms. Lincheski, and we could have probably worked out modified language to this effect. And I'm happy to continue working on that.
Representative Anderson, we don't have time to continue working on this. I have been told, though, by staff that we do need to make an adjustment to the 14A amendment to include Brainerd, so to make sure that it's
There is no verification or ratification needed. So we will do an adjustment to the 14A amendment to make sure that ratification is fine. Ms. Barth, do you have some suggestions on this? Are we still working on it?
Madam Chair, so the 14A amendment does impact other communities. It has the same impact that the second part of the A1 amendment has for any relief association who offers at the time of the effective date a $9,500 lump sum. So that would be Maplewood, Plymouth, Eden Prairie, and Brainerd.
And Brainerd.
Yes.
And Madam Chair,
Sam Anderson,
I do appreciate that. I think the other issue is the lump sum amount, because they are at 179%. They're a huge surplus. And so we've lifted the cap for Eden Prairie. We've lifted the cap for Maplewood. I'm not asking to go to the full $15,000 that the Pension Commission has approved the last two cycles, but I am looking to increase the cap to the $12,500, which is half the difference, essentially.
And Representative Anderson, did the city have the approval for the 12? Has the city approved that?
The city doesn't have to ratify that. So they're still ratified at the 8,000. They can still stay ratified at the 8,000. This just lifts the cap.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I maybe need a little more help from the staff with this, but there's no reason for the city not to raise the cap if the money is going to go to the general fund, if it doesn't go to their firefighters. Because under this legislation, the municipality has not been making contributions. They're not going to get the money. Therefore, it goes to the general fund. So there's really no reason for them not to give it to their firefighters.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
No, the issue is that the state has the cap in place. So the state has the cap of $10,000. And so even though they're funded at 179% and they're currently at $9,500, when they go to $10,000, they're going to be 172% funded. So they still have this huge surplus, but they can't go beyond the $10,000 because that's state law. And the city has no control over that cap. And so by us saying that we're going to raise the cap, just like we just did for Maplewood, we raised their cap. Just like we did for Eden Prairie, we raised their cap to $15,000. I'm asking that we raise the cap for the Plymouth at $12,500.
Representative Anderson, there was agreement by all those cities for the raising of the cap. You do not have the agreement from the Plymouth, City of Plymouth, on that.
And Madam Chair, I understand that, but we're talking at 172% funded. The City of Plymouth has not contributed funds into the kitty at all. And also, the city is not required to ratify. They are only on the hook for the amount that they ratify, and the city has only ratified 8,000. So the city has only ratified 8,000 for their volunteer firefighters. The firefighters themselves have approved 9,500, but they're still only ratified at the $8,000 mark. So the city is only responsible for the 8,000, not the 9,500. So even with us lifting the cap, that doesn't impact the city because they're still only ratified at 8,000.
Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I guess I'm not understanding the urgency because through a process of having a work group and discussing this, they could decide to raise the cap. So who would be...
They can't.
If that took till next session, who would be disadvantaged? The only one I can think of is there might be a couple firefighters who would retire between now and next year that would miss out on a couple thousand dollars. But I think that we don't really know if there would be any, you make a good case, but we don't really know if there would be any unintended consequences. It just doesn't seem to be a rush to have to do this.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
So the rush is this. So because the fund is at such a huge surplus, even if they went up to the cap, which is $10,000 set by state law, they are still at 172% funded ratio. So they have a huge surplus, $4.5 million in surplus funds. The city is taking action tonight. One of their plans is to phase out their Volunteer Firefighters Relief Association in 3 years. When they phase out their Firefighter Relief Association, they get all of those surplus funds. So that's why they don't want to lift the cap, because they want to keep that fund as large as possible, because then they get those dollars. And those dollars were intended for the volunteer firefighters, not for the city.
Mr. Dillon.
With respect, Madam Chairman and Council, I was firsthand helped deliver the package that's being presented to Council tonight. Once again, it's at a work session regarding next year's budget. And at the end of that presentation, we lay out three options. One is double the amount of paid-on-call firefighters that we have. Two is to keep adding additional career staff to the current career staff. And three is to do nothing and leave our staffing the way it is. Those are the three options that we are presenting tonight to the City Council to think about what things are they would like to see in the next 2 to 3 years. There is going to be no discussion tonight or any near future to dissolve the Relief Association. I can tell you as the chief of operations for the department, all of our modeling shows the paid-on-call firefighters, yet probably a smaller amount of them, working side by side with career staff as we change our models. There's nothing happening tonight at this study session with the council that is any imminent danger to the paid-on-call firefighter.
Thank you, Mr. Delm. Members, we've got excuse me, several amendments before us, and we've got 6 minutes to get this done. So, Representative Anderson, I would like to propose something, Senator Pappas. Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, if you were ready, I was just going to move the amendment.
Absolutely. So, members, I think we have the 14A amendment before us. And we are going to make an oral amendment on 1.6 to, after 9,500, put in the words "or more" for each year. So that's on the 14A amendment, after on line 1.6, after 9,500, put "or more."
Madam Chair, I'll incorporate that into my amendment.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Questions on that amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. So the 14A amendment is adopted. And Senator Anderson, would you like to move Section 28 of your A1 amendment?
Madam Chair, yes, I'll move Section 28 of the A1 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves Section 28 of the A1 amendment. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. And then, members, we also have another amendment that we can look at real quickly. It's 11A. Okay. It's in there. It's in your pile. And, excuse me, it does deal with the moratorium, which is problematic to the firefighters and to the relief associations. So the thought is to look at Section 30 on line 1.13, the Relief Association Work Group that we've been talking about, to keep continuing to study this ongoing problem. And I think... I think that's the proper thing to do. Would anybody like to move that?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
The only concern that I have is for the volunteer firefighters to participate. They need to have some protection that they're not going to be terminated for lobbying on their behalf. So that has been a concern, that they need to have some protection in place for that.
Representative Adams, just give us a second here. I don't know if you can specifically say no retaliation, but you can. Okay. We're looking at line 2.19 after association to put who shall not be retaliated against by the municipality.
Madam Chair.
Or Relief Association. I'm sorry, who was that?
Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if the consideration on line 2.19 is that they would be construed as lobbyists, if you might include volunteer firefighters acting on their own behalf, but notwithstanding acting as lobbyists.
Ms. Lincheski.
Representative Albright, Madam Chair, are you asking that they would be considered lobbyists if they are involved in the work group?
No, they would not. But they would.
Oh, you'd like language immune to the effect that they would not be considered lobbyists.
Right, because I think that's the inference, is that they can't lobby on their own behalf.
Okay. So you would suggest a change to the language that we're talking about here?
I think I'm going to just let you work it out.
Okay.
Representative Albright, that might be a smart thing right at this point.
So I can read this, I think. I could give this a check. In the workload. Okay, should I try it? Okay.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah. So the,
Ms. Lincheski.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the new language to address the concerns would be inserted at the end of line 2.19 before the semicolon, and it would the new language would state, who shall not be retaliated against or considered a lobbyist under state law by their municipality or relief association for their participation in the work group.
Madam Chair, I'll move that language, and I'll also move the section 30 as well.
Representative Anderson moves the amended 11A section 30 language. Any questions? Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. And Representative O'Driscoll, would you like to make the motion? I think we're all done, though, actually. Oh, excuse me. We are done with that. With that, I believe we have finished our work right on time. Again, thank you very much, members. And thank you, Representative Anderson, for working on this. Members, I think we did good work this morning. The goal is to get this pension bill out to the floor with these changes, and I think we can agree on that. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course, that's the most important thing, but I hopefully we'll be hearing from your office about any kind of interim meetings we might be having to look at some of our ongoing issues as a commission.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Pappas, and thank you for giving me that opportunity. There will be some. We're going to take the summer off a little bit, maybe towards the end of August, first part of September. We'll start. Yes, Representative or Senator Limmer, we are going to take some time off, but we will be having hearings in the interim. And I appreciate everybody's participation. With that, Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, the amendments we just adopted, we adopted them to the omnibus pension bill?
Yes. And you know what, Representative Murphy? I don't know if we adopted the 11A, though, to the omnibus pension bill.
11A.
We did incorporate the changes, and we adopted the amendment, but we didn't go through the formal. So I'm going to have Representative Anderson, would you like to move the amendment 26260?
Yes, Madam Chair.
-11A as amended be recommended for adoption in the omnibus pension bill and the House committee process?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Thank you, Representative. Little diligence there. With that, members, meeting is adjourned. Okay. It's all good. Great. Thanks, guys.
All booked up. I'm like a mess. Everything's broken and spilled on me. And